Welcome to the Soma Church Podcast. As Soma, we believe life is better together, and we exist to help others find their identity in Jesus and become mature followers of Him. To be better connected with Soma, you can visit somapeople.com or follow us on Instagram or Twitter at Soma People. Now here's this week's teaching from Pastor Michael Strickland.
Hey, if you're grateful to carry the label that God gives you, the identity that God gives you, not the label of this world, if you're glad to find your identity in Jesus, make some noise in this place if you love Him today. Come on. Man, it's good to gather to be the church. If you're new, if you're with us for the very first time, I want to double down on what's already been said. Man, we're so glad that you're here, and we believe that we are better together. We believe that when we come together and we gather, we're reminded of the faithfulness of God in our lives. We're reminded of all the different vantage points and the perspectives that we all have, different lived experience, been graced in different ways, and we get to see Jesus in a more holistic, more complete view and vantage point. And so we're excited to do that. Thank you for joining us today. I want to start off doing it something a little different. I want to celebrate a team member, and she's been with me the longest. And she's done a lot. And my wife and I, we are celebrating our anniversary this weekend. Would y'all give it up for Brooke? Come on, wherever she is, Brookie. She's probably in the hallway, probably not even in here. Puts up with a lot. Oh yeah, there she is. There she is. Girl, you made it to church today. That's so good. That's awesome. But but our anniversary falls on this weekend. And not a lot of foresight went into the plan. I thought end of April, it'd be a beautiful time of year, get married, it'd be great. That's how we planned it. And turns out we share that space with prom weekend, right? So every time we go out to dinner to celebrate our anniversary, we're the most underdressed people there at the restaurant. Everybody's rocking the tuxes and the sequin ball gowns and a lot of hairspray and all that good stuff. And we feel out of place a little bit. Also, we share that weekend with the NFL draft. Not a lot of foresight there on my part, gents. So it's a struggle. It's a grind. If you would pray for me. And every single year where I'm trying to sneak attack some NFL draft in the midst of anniversary week. But thank you. And Brooke, I love you, and I'm so grateful for you. And you do so much to make this go. The whole reason why I'm able to do what I'm able to do is because she does what she does. And that's what marriage looks like, and that's what ministry looks like. And so I just wanted to stop and honor on the front end. We're in this series called Eternal Exchange. We're week 3. So we started off the series, if you're joining us, it's the first time or first time in a hot second. We start off the first week, we talked about how we to frame our prayers with the mindset that we're praying to a Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father who loves us, who's for us. Jesus says that's primary. So in Matthew 6, Jesus, he gives us this master class on prayer. He's like, listen, and what we've done is we've turned it into kind of like this memorized prayer that we just kind of like, we hit it during huddle ups or whatever, and it doesn't hold much meaning, much weight, because what he's trying to do is give us a framework for prayer. He's not saying, hey, go memorize this and go say it without meaning. He's saying, apply this to your life. So our Father, who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father is what we hit the first week. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I just went KJV on you just then. I just went King James Version on you. So your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we hit that last weekend talking about that's the premise. Everything after that. So in order for you to petition, in order for you to ask God for things, hey, I want you to do this in my life, which is generally our posture of prayer. That's generally what we're praying. Or for forgiveness, you have to first pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. And so today we're going to hit, give us this day our daily bread. So go to Matthew 6, and we're going to go back to verses 5 through 15. We're going to run through this thing until you're tired of it, until you're absolutely sick of it. You've already got it memorized. Let's go there together. So, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees what's in secret will reward you. We've already talked about, listen, it doesn't mean you can't pray publicly. It just means if your whole prayer life is a public prayer life, you don't have a prayer life. So verse 7, when you pray, do not heap empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. And a lot of people will listen to that and say, well, that's permission to not ask. And that's not what Jesus says. Look at verse 9. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So the part we're going to lean in on today is verse 11. It says, give us this day our daily bread. And if you're taking notes, title of the message today is just how to ask. That's it, just how to ask. We have, most of us, a pretty kind of, including myself, have approached prayer with the wrong mentality, kind of the wrong theology of prayer, and a pretty warped view of what it means to ask God to show up in our life. And when we read, give us this day our daily bread, our minds automatically think of materialistic things. What Jesus is not saying, hey, give us this day our daily bread, like, give us this day our daily bread. Like, Jesus is not saying literal bread. You know what I mean? He's not like, hey, Lord, it's Wednesday. I could really use some pumpernickel right now. You know what I mean? Like, a nice loaf of ciabatta would be great right now, Lord. No, what he's saying is, you're the provider. You're the source. Any good and perfect gift in my life is from you. And it's a reminder. It's a posture that says, you are the provider. You are the sustainer. You are the source for my life. And so daily, give us my daily bread is a reminder of, yeah, sure, it means food, but it means so much more than just materialistic things. And that's what the prayer is trying to get us to see. James 1:17 reminds us that every good and perfect gift is from above, which means anything in this life, anything of value that you have, anything that you've ever said, man, that was good. That felt good. That was a great experience. And not your own value or your own definitive version of what good is, but like the true essence of what good is. Any of that, that came from God. That's a gift. That's a grace. And what we're saying is when we wake up and we hold this posture that says we're praying to our Father and we're praying that his kingdom come, his will be done in our lives and our community and the people around us. And then when we come to him, we have asks. Hey, I need some direction here in my life. I need you to show up in, I've got this situation at work and I have no idea what to do. I need some guidance. I need you to be the source in this area. I need you to open the right doors and close the wrong doors. I need some guidance in my marriage. I need some help. I need some life-giving, sustaining things to happen in my marriage because you're the source and you're the provider. You can do things in the heart of my spouse that I could never do. You could do things in the heart of my friend that I could never do. God, I need a way out, and I'm sick, and I'm helpless, and I'm broken, and I need you. That's what this posture says. It says you're the source. A reminder of the source. It's a posture that says, God, I want to be dependent on you. And here's my thought on this whole idea of being dependent and God is the source. I feel like there's all these things that God wants us to experience on any given day, including today. There's all these things that God wants for you and your life and your heart, but when we skip out on prayer, when we don't make prayer our first priority, when we make it a last response, when we don't make it the thing that starts our day to kind of frame the rest of everything that's going to happen, we miss out on so much of what God has for us. And I feel like there's all these things that I've missed over the course of my lifetime. Here's the scenario. I'm going to paint a picture, okay? You get to heaven one day. So you believed, you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus, and you get to heaven. But maybe your prayer life is pretty garbage, right? So you never pray. It's just not a thing you do. You hit the blessing whenever it's time to hit the blessing. And occasionally you might pray if, you know, something bad happens or whatever. But any other day, you just don't have a normal rhythm of prayer. You get up to heaven. All the greats are there. Peter's there, Paul's there, Moses is there, David is there, Tim Tebow is there, that guy who started Chick-fil-A is there. All the greats are there, right? And then your family, a loved one comes up and they're like, hey man, I'm gonna take you to your pad. You're walking down the hallway of your life and you look over and you see a door and you're like, what's in that room? And the loved one's like, you don't wanna go in there. You don't wanna look in that room. Like, well, I don't want to look in that room. You don't want to look in that room because in that room is all the things that God wanted to do in your life, but you never asked. and you never did the things that he wanted for you. You never started your day with a posture of prayer and said, God, I want to be dependent on you. I want you to be the source of my life. I want you to lead me through the day. Random Tuesdays. Here's my thing. I don't want to live my life in such a way that I'm like, God, if you could just get me to Friday. God, if you could just get me to July when we got that beach vacation, Lord. Like, if I could just get through, I don't want that. I want on a random Tuesday for God to do the miraculous in my life and for me to be open to whatever he has for me on a random Tuesday. Because I feel like God can show up any day when we start our day with a posture of prayer. When we start our day saying, God, you're the source, and I want to be dependent on you. And I want you to just open the right doors today. And there's probably a specific ask, a specific thing that you need him to do that day. Maybe think in advance of what's going to happen at work or what the family, just kind of the flow of your family or whatever struggle you're going through. But ask God, hey, work in this situation and then watch God do what he does. It's amazing. Scripture tells us that the way that we receive more from God is to ask for it, to petition, to again remind ourselves of the need to depend on him. So when we say, give us this day our daily bread, we're saying, I need you. I need you. And I can't do this on my own. And you're also saying, I know that you have what I need. So it's an act of worship. It's an act of reverence. It's an act of saying, not only are you my Father, you're my Heavenly Father. So hallowed be your name. Like, you can do things in my life that I could never do. Hallowed be your name. So give me this day, give us this day our daily bread. Most of our prayers are give me prayers. I want you to think about your own prayer life real quick. And don't feel bad about it. I want you to feel encouraged today that maybe moving forward today we grow in a culture and a life of prayer. But the majority of us, when we pray like, I need a thing, like give me. And we don't frame the ask in all the rest that Jesus tells us to frame it in. That's one. Verse 11 is just one little tiny section in the whole prayer. And there's so much more to the prayer. Our Father, who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, before you even get to the ask. And then there's so much more on the back end. So we're supposed to frame the ask with all that's there. And when we do that, we take the right posture towards prayer. Look at this is James 4, verses 2 through 3. He says, you desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So what James reminds us of, and really what we know, deep down what we really know, is that there is a wrong way to ask. There is a wrong way to ask. And also, not asking is not the answer, because Jesus instructs us that's what we're supposed to do. And James tells us when we don't have the things that God wants for us, it's because we're not asking for the things that God wants for us. So why does it say in the Bible, here's the question that a lot of people ask, why does it say in certain passages, whatsoever you ask, or ask anything in my name and it will be given to you? It says, no good thing does he withhold, and he gives us liberally. Not one good thing that you've ever asked for, God has refused you. Not one good thing that was good for you, not your definition of God's definition of the perfect purpose and plan that he has for your life, that you've ever asked for, did he withhold from you? That's what Scripture says, and that's amazing. Here's what's important about this relationship, and why it's important to frame everything as if we're praying to our Father when we're asking, is because a father knows what the child needs. James says, we have not because we ask not, because he's our Heavenly Father. He loves us and he wants to give us over to not just the affections of our heart, but his affections for us, right? Your joy as a father is bound up in the success of your children. I want you to think about this time of year, especially. We're playing baseball. It's baseball season, people. Parents lose their mind in baseball season. Come on, somebody. Where you, like, it's travel ball is the worst, right? So you get out there and you got parents that just, they're living vicariously through that 7-year-old. You know what I'm talking about? And they're just like, they're the biggest champion. They're the biggest supporter. They're just like, man, I'm all in. And I like to give people a hard time like that. But I love the passion that they have for the kid. And I love the way that they love their kid. And where do we get that from? right? We're in graduation season. We got some kids internally in our church graduating, taking next steps. And now let me guarantee you something. If you're a student and you're a graduate, your parent wants more for you than you want for yourself in this season. Qualify. Your good parent wants more for you than you want for yourself in this season. And there's just something about us, like as parents, we just want so much for our kids. And where does that come from? It comes from the fact that you and I were created in the image of God. We were created in his image. And so we model this part of the prayer just in our everyday life. If you want to give good gifts to your kids, how much more does your Heavenly Father want to give to you? Who is perfect. So he's your Heavenly Father, but he's perfect. And I'm not a perfect parent. I'm nowhere near a perfect parent. I got so many gaps in my game. And yet I love my kids so much. And I want more for my kids than they want for themselves. So we serve this all-powerful Father, a Heavenly Father. So we're supposed to come to him with a great deal of confidence. And I think we sell ourselves so short when God has all this for us. He has all this that he wants us to experience. But we're asking for like a little tiny chunk. You know what I mean? We're so small-minded. When I was 2 years old, and I don't remember this, but I've been told the story. So when I was 2 years old, it was Christmas. And I was living the dream. You know, this is before, like, I was single child mode. You know what I'm talking about? My sister hadn't showed up yet. Ashley had all the attention, doted on. Plus, I'm 2 years old. It's kind of a sweet spot for Christmas for kids, right? That 2 to 3 year range is just a magical time for kids. And if you're a parent of a small child, you really want it to be like an amazing experience. You know what I'm talking about? Christmas? You're just like, man, this is going to blow their mind. It's going to be so fun. And so my parents come to me and they ask me, like, what do you want for Christmas? And I'm thinking about it and I say, I want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Not only did I get the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I got a Big Bird. Y'all remember that back in the day, Sesame Street, hello. I got a Big Bird and I got a Red Wagon. Come on. Like, all I asked for was a little tiny peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Like, how small-minded is that? But that's how we treat the life of prayer, and that's how we treat going to God confidently. Like, God, I want you to show up in my life. I want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. How stupid is that? He's like, no, like, I want all this for you. Like, don't ask for that. So dumb. And that's how we do it. That's what our prayer life looks like. Because it's always in response to whatever immediate need we may have. It is not a long-term strategy of prayer. It is not a long-term gain of prayer in the ways that you want to work in and through my life. And it's not your kingdom come, your will be done type of mentality. We've got to think much larger whenever we approach the ask. And we've got to go to him as if we were talking to our Heavenly Father, as if we were talking to the King of the universe, as if we were talking to the one who fashioned and shaped you, every good and perfect gift you've ever experienced, everything that you're going to experience, every door opened and every opportunity in your life comes from him. And so going to him with a great deal of confidence is the way that we're supposed to start off. And there's four things I want us to look at when it comes to give us this day our daily bread and kind of this posture of prayer that Jesus sets up, not only in this passage, but in other passages, okay? So four things I want us to look at today that when we make the ask, this is the how to ask, these are the things that we're supposed to do in the posture we're supposed to have, okay? So the first one is get confident. Get confident. Good parents instill confidence in us, right? So I want you to think about when you've seen little babies do this, you know, they're like 1 year old or whatever, they're just getting their legs under them, and little babies will like hurt themselves. They're like hit their heads on something or fall down or something. But the first thing they do whenever they hit their head or they fall down is they look at dad and they're like, what am I supposed to do right now? And depending on how you respond as a parent, some parents are like, oh my gosh, and they're running over and, you know, making a big deal of it. Baby's freaking out. And then, you know, in true dad mode, we're just like, get up, you're good, like, whatever. And the baby's like, and if your response is, you're okay, that's usually the go-to, right? You're okay. And if that's your response, then you're like, okay, good, I'm good, right? So you instill confidence as a parent, and that's the thing that we experience when we go to God and we ask him for things. The very act of asking God is a display of confidence in him. God, you've got things that I need that I can't do for myself. You're able to do things in my life that I'm not able to do. It's an act of faith to ask for someone for something, right? If you go to someone and you ask someone for something, you believe they can give you the thing that you're asking for. That's the reason why you're asking them. Otherwise, you would not ask them. So to go to God and say and have this really small prayer, I need a peanut butter and jelly sandwich today. He's like, man, who do you think I am? Like, I've got all this available to you. So we're supposed to go with a great deal of confidence. Here's some passages of scripture that reaffirm how we're supposed to go to God. Hebrews 11:6, it says, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without this confidence in who he is and what he can do in your life. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. This is Ephesians 3:12. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now grow, we can now become boldly and confidently into God's presence. Because of our faith in Jesus, now we can come to the throne of God confidently. Hebrews 4:15-16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are tempted, and yet he's without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. God wants so much more for your life, so much more for my life, and he is capable. And what here's how to, you're like, it sounds great, man. Like, go to God with confidence. I have no idea how to manifest confidence in my life. You spend time in his word. He's already done amazing things. You can read about them, but also spend time with people who are mature in their faith. Spend time with people who are already confident in God in order to grow in confidence in God. Because you're going to hear stories of how, when was the last time you asked God to show up in your life? When was the last time you prayed a prayer and then he answered your prayer? And if you're like, man, it's been a while, then you need to surround yourself with people for whom God has answered their prayer. Because that will grow in you a faith. That will grow in you a confidence in him. And man, he's telling us, in order to ask, in order to give us this day our daily bread, you got to come to me ready. Don't ask for a dumb sandwich when I've got so much more in store for you. So that's our first thing, get confident. The second one is get perspective. And this, we hit this kind of last week. We're going to double down on it again because it's so important. Get perspective. Hallowed be your name. Before you ask for anything, your perspective on things you want needs a shift. You've got to understand who God is and what he wants to do before you make the ask, right? Our deepest problem is a matter of perspective, not circumstances. So the difference between someone who God is working in their life, God is fluent and he's working in their life of prayer and in their life of faith is a shift in perspective, not in circumstances. You have all the circumstances you need for God to do all that he wants to do in your life. Your circumstances do not need to change. Your perspective needs to change. Your perspective on who God is and what he wants to do in your life. Prayer isn't about bending God's will to our will. We've already talked about this. Prayer is not about bending God's will to our will, but it's about softening our will to his will. And that's the shift in perspective that needs to take place. We're supposed to center our life on him. And all of the things that we worry about and all the things that cause anxiety and all the typical prayer life that we have, all that will evolve and it will shape and it will become more mature when we center our life on him. There's an imbalance in our life whenever we don't have prayer in the right place. I don't know if any of y'all have old washing machines. Y'all got old washing machines, all hood washing machines like the one we just got rid of? Anybody? No? Not so much? Okay. So, but you've been there before, right, where you had the old, the white, we've had this thing for 12 years, washing machine, and we just upgraded, by the way. Hey, we just upgraded. So washing more clothes in our house, and it's good because the old one was giving like rust stains on it. You know, you'd be walking around with rust stains, which is weird. People were confused. They didn't know what was going on. So anyway, we got them when we got married, Kenmore. I don't remember what they're called. They're going to stop making Kenmore altogether. But anyway, we had a white washing machine and a white dryer, and they had been worked on so many times over. And if you didn't place the clothes just right in the washing machine, you know what I mean? If they got off kilter, that thing, I'd be in the living room, and you'd hear it go, boop, 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 boop. It's at the back of the house, and you'd go back there, and the washing machine is walking its way all the way to the bathroom. You know what I'm talking about? Because it's off-centered. You'd have to go in there, get everything recentered, get it, just shut it down, and then it would start again. You push it back in the corner. But that's what our prayer life is like. When we're not centered on the things of God, when we're not focused on the main things and making the right priorities in our life, things that we've already spoke of, that's what our prayer life looks like. Get centered on the things of God. So when you worry about something, remember that God is the most important thing. Remember, hallowed be your name when you're full of anxiety and when you're full of worry. Maybe you're treating your own opinion higher than God's opinion. Or maybe you're pursuing something, you're treating some object as more important than God. And one of the best qualifiers for this area of perspective, if you say, I feel like I'm pretty good in my perspective of prayer, one of the best qualifiers for perspective is unanswered prayers. So what is your response to unanswered prayers will tell you a lot about your perspective. So if you pray for a specific thing for God to show up in your life, very specific prayer, and then that thing doesn't happen, you could take one or two approaches. You could say, like, I'm done with prayer. Prayer doesn't work. Like, I'm mad at God. I can't believe that happened. I can't believe that happened to me and my family. I can't believe that happened to me personally. I can't believe he didn't answer my prayer here. Or you could say, God's got something even more in store for my life. Like, the fact that he didn't answer that prayer, and he's a good father. Remember, he's a good father, and he loves me. It means he has something even more in store for my life. And it's my job to attune my things, to attune my heart and my life to the things of God so I can pay attention and see what he has. What is your response, your inability to answer my prayer in this area of life? What does that mean for me? One of the greatest theologians, right, of the Common Era, he said it like this. Sometimes I thank God, sing it with me, for unanswered prayer. You didn't know you were going to get this morning. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs, that just because he didn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. They're not doing this at any other church in the region, I guarantee you. Some of God's greatest, you got to go down low for that one. Some of God's greatest gifts, unanswered. Answered prayers. Come on, Garth Brooks, everybody. Give it up for Garth. Catawba County, that landed with somebody, right? Half my audience is Garth fans. That worked well. But the perspective on everything in the life of prayer is it just makes all the difference in the world in how we have a perspective. So whether or not he's answered our prayers or not answered our prayers, the perspective makes all the difference. It's saying, your kingdom come, your will be done. Remember, we premise everything with that. And then it leads to our third point. So perspective takes us to the place where we need to go, and that's get humble. Get humble is our third point. By seeing his wisdom, we can't say, give us this day our daily bread, unless we're seeing that we're praying to a heavenly father, not a genie, which is typically how we approach God, right, if we're being honest. If God has all this power, why isn't he giving me the things that I've asked for? Because prayer is not about you getting what you want. Prayer is about a conversation with a heavenly father who loves you, who is for you, and who knows what's better for you than you do. Right? There's a safety catch in prayer. So kids ask for ridiculous things. Like, I'll ask my kids. This will give you an example. This is God's perspective right now, okay? So I ask my kids, I'm like, hey, what do you want for your birthday? And they're kids. So they're like, I want a tiger. All right, what else do you want for your birthday? You know what I mean? We're not gonna get a tiger. Because it's probably a bad idea to get a tiger, you know? As much as I want my kids to get a tiger, it'd be cool to have a tiger. There's all kinds of reasons to not get my kid a tiger. That's a bad move. And the same thing happens for us in the life of prayer. When we ask for things and God goes, nope, that's not what you need. You think that's what you need, that's not what you need. But we approach him as if he were a genie. I want you to think about this. If you had a five-year-old, And they found Aladdin's lamp, right? You got a five-year-old and they found Aladdin's lamp. What would you do? I would run. That's what I would do. We would get mauled at our house. It would be animals everywhere, like if somebody got a lamp at our house. But like a five-year-old gets the lamp, they don't have the proper perspective, they don't know what to ask for. And then when you're like, well, you get a little bit older, you get 10, you're a little bit more mature, you know what to ask for when you're 10. Nope. Like, I would not give my 10-year-old a lamp. Definitely wouldn't give my 15-year-old a lamp. As a matter of fact, it's my job as a parent to give my 15-year-old nothing that they ask for. Come on, somebody. Can I get an amen? Yes. So, like, and then when you're like, well, 25-year-olds are mature. No, they're not. Been 25, right? And it's like a moving target. We get a little bit older, and we go, man, I'm better, and I'm more mature than I was when I was 15 or when I was 25. And then you get older, you're like, or when I was 35. And what the scriptures tell us is you're always dumb. Like, you're always going to be in a place where you're dependent on God and you're in need of God. You're not going to turn 85 and be like, I got it, right? As a matter of fact, what the scripture tells us is that the more mature you are, the more humble you are. Anyone that I know that loves Jesus and follows him and is a great leader in the church is more humble than the person who is not. They would say, I'm in more need of God. There's a story recently. I just throwing this in there. This ain't even in the manuscript. Extra bonus. This is the Holy Spirit. So, like, I was at this thing the other day, and there was two guys telling a story about how they went to visit Billy Graham. And he was in his late 80s, and they were like, hey, Mr. Graham, you know, thank you. They were just doing the normal thing. Like, we love you so much, and woo, and, like, fanboying out and taking pictures, all this kind of stuff. And then they said, hey, what can we do for you? He said, just pray for me that I would finish well. Pray for me that I would finish well, and pray for me that the life I've lived would be worthy of an inheritance. And they're like, crap, if you don't get in, what is the rest of us going to do? You know what I mean? But the posture that Billy Graham had was, hey, listen, I'm older and I'm more mature and I've got a better perspective, but I've lived this thing out, this thing of faith out in such a way that I'm more humble now than I was when I was 20-something or 30-something or 40-something, even filling stadiums of people in that season of life. But I'm more humble. And so humility is a way to gauge maturity in your prayer life. It's a way to gauge maturity in your faith. And Jesus, he models this. Look at Hebrews 5:7. This is what it says. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. And this is a reference to, we hit it recently, but John 17, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus is praying for his life, literally. He is praying, I don't really want to atone for the sins of mankind. I really would, if we can avoid the whole not just being ushered out of your presence and not being able to experience you anymore and all of the mutilation that's getting ready to happen and the mockery that's getting ready to happen and the execution, if I could just not do that, that would be great. But your will be done. And Hebrews 5:7 says, and he was heard because of his reverence. Parents will take a request, even a wrong request, and they'll interpret what you need out of what you've asked. That's what a good Heavenly Father would do. He'll take what you've asked, he'll take the heart of what you've asked, and he'll say, I want what's best for you. And so even though you've got to go through this thing and you don't want to go through this thing, I want what's best for you. And I got a better vantage point, a better perspective for you. Jesus asked to not have to go through the atoning for your sins and my sins. And God took that submission when Jesus says, not my will, but your will be done. He took that reverence, that submission, and he brought about resurrection. He says, listen, I know you don't want to have to go through this, but if you don't go through this, you're going to miss out on resurrection. If you don't go through this, you're going to miss out on the future glory that I've got in store for you. If you don't go through this, not only are you going to miss out on resurrection, but everyone who desires a relationship with me, all of my other sons and daughters who have yet to be adopted are going to miss out on resurrection. So he doesn't answer the prayer the way that Jesus wants him to answer the prayer. And yet Jesus in humility, he says, your will be done. So God really wants us. There's certain things that we really want. I don't, you've probably been there before where your kid asks for a certain thing, right? And whenever they ask for the thing, if you said the answer is no, and you gave them an alternative, they said, I'll give you an example the other day. I'm not going to name names. But so we're, you know, it's time to eat. And we got a certain thing to eat, which is a nightmare in our house. Everybody wants different things. Anyway, so we got a certain thing to eat, and one of our kids was like, "You got that? Oh, I'm not eating that." And we're like, "Well, that's what you're going to eat." Like, and then we said, "Well, what about so-and-so?" Like, morons, we shouldn't have done that. We should have pressed forward and just be like, "You're eating that thing." But anyway, we're like, "What about so-and-so?" "I'm not eating anything. I'm not eating anything." You ever done that? You ever had that? I've done it. But have you ever had a kid? "I'm not doing anything then. Not doing anything." And that's kind of, and what God's saying is stop being dumb for a second and like just eat the chicken. You know what I mean? Like, I want, this is better for you than what you, so what he's saying is, he says, like, listen, if you're willing to die to this request that you have, if you're willing to die to that thing, I've got something greater in store. If you go to God, he'll always give you the value of what you ask for, but not in kind. I'll give you a couple of examples. So there's a couple times the disciples are out on a boat and a storm comes up, and God deals with the same scenario in two different ways. So one time, storm rolls up, Jesus is sleeping, dudes are freaking out. They're like, "Oh my gosh, we're gonna die, it's crazy. Storm out here." They go wake Jesus up and he's like, "Be still." And he goes back down and takes a nap, and they're like, "What in the world?" But their request was save us, salvation, but also make the storm stop. Like, make the storm go away. And Jesus answers the prayer. Then there's another time, same scenario, similar scenario, and storm rolls up, salvation, praying for the storm to stop. But that time, storm doesn't stop. That time, Jesus is walking on the water. Storm doesn't stop. And he invites Peter to come out and walk on the water. Completely different scenario. Prayer not answered. But how much cooler is that moment than the other one? How much more amazing is that story and the moment that God creates for these disciples than the one where Jesus is just like, "All right, just go away. Just be still," right? Like, we miss out on so much when we're unwilling to die to our own requests and go, "Okay, God, what you want for me is even better than what I want for myself. I'm willing to listen." Here's what Apostle Paul says. He says, "Three times I've asked that you would take this thorn away from me, that you would take this thing that I can't get rid of." Scripture doesn't tell us what it is, if it was a health issue, if it was a sin. I think it's a sin. I think it was a predisposition to struggle and sin in a certain way. And Paul is saying, "Would you rid this of my life? Like, I'm tired of struggling and beating my head on this specific area." And God said, his response was, "No, because my power is made perfect in your weakness, Paul. And if I take away the thorn, I take away your dependence. And I take away your posture that says you're the source. And I can't do this without you. I got this stuff in my life I can't deal with. I'm frustrated. But you're the source." He's saying, that's staying there. So there's things that you and I want to get rid of. There's requests and petitions that we've made and asks that we made. And we don't understand, God, why does it have to be this way? And it's because we lack the proper perspective. Because we lack the proper perspective, we lack a great deal of humility. And there are some of you who are here and you're saying, "Listen, you spent this whole time talking about prayer. You spent this whole time talking about like the how-to of prayer. And yet, like, I don't even buy this thing. Like, I don't even buy the Jesus thing. I got dragged here by my spouse or someone else conned me into coming today." Or you're here and you are a Christ follower, but you say, "I don't believe in the power of prayer. I just don't see it. I don't believe it's a thing. I don't think it works." And for those of us who are in that space, there's a fourth piece that I want to talk about, and that's just get reconciliation. You just got to get reconciled. You've got to get to a place where you begin to see yourself from the right vantage point, that you are here and God is here, and your relationship and the way that you see your relationship to him makes all the difference. Prayer is the way for you to be reconciled, for you to be human and in need of God. You're saying, I'm dependent. You're the source. For you to see Jesus for who he is and that he makes a way for you and me to have a conversation with the Heavenly Father who loves us, who is for us, and who wants to spend time with us. Who, when you leave today to go get something to eat or make plans for the rest of your day or the rest of your week, he's still with you. tomorrow morning when you wake up, and you're like, I hate Mondays. And, you know, he's still with you. He's with you every single moment of every day. And we relegate our prayer life to this ridiculous thing. And God is saying, I want so much more for you. And you miss out. One last thing on this. He says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us. He doesn't say, give me. He says, pray this way. Give us our daily bread. As if, hey, the petition, the ask, the thing that you want God to show up in your life for, don't ask alone. Don't ask for that thing alone. There's power in prayer, but there is power in the community of prayer. With a group of people who love you, who are for you, and who want God's best for your life, I'm telling you, you're going to get more answers to prayer the more people that are praying for the thing that you want God to show up in your life, because more people have a better perspective than you do. And God will send people to tell you something in a season of life when you desperately need it, but it's that community of prayer piece that's so important. Every single person on your way in, you got one of these right here. I didn't bring it out here, but it's a prayer card. Right? Take a minute and pull that out real quick. Real quick, just humor me. Take a minute, pull out the prayer card. It says, I need prayer. Can't miss it. Little strip of paper. And here's what I would love for you to do, just an exercise right here at the end of service, as we're getting ready to go into this last song, and we're getting ready to spend some time in worship. I want you to think of an area in your life where you need God to show up. Where you need some answers. And maybe it's not your life, maybe it's someone else's life, and maybe it's easier to pray for someone else in this space. But I want you to think of this, okay? I want you to think of, how can I pray confidently for that thing? So that I'm not asking for something really small, but I'm asking for something much larger because I have a Heavenly Father who loves me. How can I pray confidently? How can I have the right perspective on this? God, your kingdom come, your will be done. Help me to have the right perspective. Help me to have a great deal of humility. And help me in the midst of this to feel reconciled with you and help others to feel reconciled with you. And then write that prayer down. My favorite thing is to look at those cards every single week and see someone who is praying for someone who got bad news, who's got cancer, praying for someone who's humble and vulnerable enough to say, hey, pray for my kid. I'm really struggling. I'm having a hard time with my kid. And prayer is extremely vulnerable because prayer is saying, I need something. But I'm telling you, give us is not a posture of like me just having a one-on-one conversation, but us having a conversation together. I'm going, okay, God, show up in his life, in her life, and help us to just pray together and come together. So here's my homework. If you can, hit it right now. Figure out what the ask is. Where you need God to show up in your life, what prayer you want answered specifically, write it down. And when you leave today, let us know. Drop it in the offering box, and we're going to pray as a team, pray as leaders. We're going to send it out to some folks, and they're going to hold you up in prayer. Or if you can't think of anything right now, spend some time this week praying about it. Bring it back next week. But man, I pray that we would change the way that we think about prayer and the way that we approach this part, the ask. God wants so much more for your life. He does not want you to just say, all right, I believe Jesus is who he says he is, and that's the end of your experience. That's the beginning of your experience. God wants to show you that he is active and that he is alive and that he cares for you, and he does it in and through prayer. And he does it with other people who are praying for you. So please don't sell yourself short. Please don't live this life and not pray and miss out on all that God has for you every single day because you are unwilling to take the time to go, give me the right frame of mind, give me the proper perspective, and help me to serve and love people incredibly well today. Equip me with everything that I need and open the right doors. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you so much for who you are, and we celebrate you today. God, you are good, and you are perfect, And you are everything that we need. You are more than capable. You are totally sufficient for what we need this side of heaven. And God, I pray that our affection would be on you. I pray that the emphasis of our life and the way that we prioritize our life would be on you. And that everything out of the overflow of that would affect every other area of our life. Because you want more for our marriage than we want. You want more for our career than we want, our vocation. You want more for every relationship that we have. You want more for our kids than we want. And so I pray that we would start the day centered and focused on you, your will for our life, your kingdom come, your will be done. And that when we go to you and we ask, that we would do it with a great deal of confidence and perspective and humility, understanding that ultimately that's about reconciling us and everyone that we've ever met to you. Lord, we love you. For those who are here today and you're seeing Jesus for who he is for the very first time, you've spent a lifetime talking about him. But God's, maybe it's not just today, but maybe over the course of the past few weeks, whatever it looks like, God's shifting your perspective and helping you to see your own dependence on him, him as the source in your life. And you want to pray and you want to give your life over to Christ. There's nothing magical in this prayer. Jesus saves you, not the prayer. But just pray this. Say, Jesus, I'm giving my life over to you today. And I'm sorry for the life I've lived. And I'm sorry that I've tried to be dependent on myself and not on you. I've made myself the source and not you. And now today, moving forward, I don't want to live selfishly. I don't want to live sinfully. I want to live righteously. I want to live in the call that you have on my life, and I want more. I'm selling myself short, and I want more. And I want to follow you into the abundant life that you have for me. And so take away all my sin. I'm placing that at the foot of the cross. Thank you for your atoning work on the cross. And I'm stepping into the more abundant plan that you have for my life moving forward. God, for our church, in this season, I pray that you would do only what you could do. Not what words on this platform could do. Not what any of the packaging or any of the methods or any of the junk that we do. But Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do only what you could do, which is stir people's hearts to have a conversation with you. A daily conversation that says, I want to look more like you. And I want to seek the things that you have for me, God. Lord, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.